The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to his disciples, "In those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the sky, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds, with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the end of the earth to the end of the sky." Learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branch becomes tender and sprouts leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that he is near, at the gates. Amen. I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. The Gospel of the Lord. Feels like no matter where you look or what news or interests you follow, everything seems to be the best or the worst ever, right? For me particularly, it's usually sports, whether it's a particular game or a particular athlete or player or something happens, it has to be the best thing ever. It can't just be the best I saw today or this week. It's got to be the best thing that's ever happened. Or if somebody doesn't do very good, they're just the worst. They weren't just bad. They didn't just have a bad day. They are the worst. Seems like we have to kind of catastrophize everything. I don't know if it's because of the internet or social media or cable news or what it is, but it seems to be that wherever we look, everything has to be very dramatic to one extreme or another. And when we hear that, I think when Jesus speaks of these things about the end of the world, we can naturally go down the road that is actually, I think, a very common human occurrence throughout all of history, that we want to kind of wonder if this is the time. Well, if everything's so bad, well, is this the time that the world is, that heaven and earth will pass away and the Son of Man will come? And I don't think that's a bad thing or a particular unique thing for our day and age. But instead, I think Jesus's instructions to his disciples and to us are exactly what come at the end of today's gospel. It's not to really try to predict or worry necessarily if it is today or not. Because he says, but of the day or hour, no one knows. Not himself, not the Son or the angels, but only the Father. So what is the invitation from Jesus if we're supposed to know about these things that are going to happen? One, it's to recognize that first he was talking about his journey towards Jerusalem. This is getting near the end of Jesus' public ministry and pointing towards the time that he'll journey to Jerusalem for Palm Sunday and be killed on the cross and then rise on the third day. And most of these things apply first and foremost to Jesus' Paschal mystery. That it's in that moment that the Son of Man actually comes with great power and glory, paradoxically. That it doesn't seem like he's there in power, and yet he overcomes evil and sin, the one thing that all humans are subject to. But also the way that it applies at the end of the age is true. It's not that it just applied to Jesus historically. But instead of focusing on when it's going to happen or how it's going to happen, Jesus simply encourages us to be ready, to be vigilant, to look for the signs of seeing maybe how good or bad is happening, but I think more importantly, when he is near. If you notice, when he explains this lesson from the fig tree, he doesn't say, be aware of the things as they're happening around you, because that's when the end of the world is going to happen. But he says, in the same way, when you see these things happening, know that he is near at the gates. That is when the Son of Man, or Jesus, however you want to kind of phrase it, that's when he will be here. And again, I think that applies to his second coming, but it also applies in our daily lives. It applies to however we encounter Christ and His Holy Spirit today. To be vigilant and aware of how He's acting in our lives. To be vigilant and aware that turning the world upside down isn't just for the second coming of Jesus, isn't just for the end of the world. That He actually wants to bring that glory and power to our lives now. That He's in some ways sending out His angels, maybe not in a dramatic and amazing way, to gather His elect from all the ends of the earth. But He's actually doing that right now through the work of the Holy Spirit and through the church. So our job isn't to catastrophize and worry if this is the best or the worst ever. Not to worry about if today or tomorrow is going to be the end of everything, but instead to be vigilant, to notice the ways that God is working in our lives. Brothers and sisters, I actually think that as we renew the stewardship way of life, that's one of the great blessings of stewardship. It's one of the reasons it's been so successful in helping us as Christian disciples. Because it forces us to see that God is working in the world around us. Maybe not fixing all the problems or making our life easy, but that He is present. That He is near, not just to the world, but He is near to me. And then when I experience that gift, then I can go and do likewise. I can go and love others generously, using those gifts He has given me out of love of God and neighbor. You may have seen the stewardship posters at each of the entrances. It's an image of the parable of the Good Samaritan. And the theme this year is a quote from what Jesus says after instructing us with that parable. He simply says, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. And I think most of us hear that and we assume, well, sure, we're supposed to go and kind of do better, like the Samaritan cared for the one on the side of the road. And I think that's true, but maybe only half of what Jesus is saying. Because I think Jesus wants His disciples to realize that they're also actually like the man that was beat up and left for dead on the side of the road. Probably not physically or in any way that's visible to other people. But spiritually, if you want to view us as kind of inheriting sin and death from Adam and Eve, and in some ways we have been beaten up and left by the side of the road. In a situation that we cannot fix ourselves or offer a sacrifice, as it said in the second reading, to save us from our sins. And yet Jesus came along to do just that, to offer Himself on our behalf and to overcome the effects of sin and death, to show us that there is new life, to actually flip that upside down. So I think when Jesus says, go and do likewise, first it's to realize that we've received a great gift. We've received that salvation and freedom, much like the man that was left by the roadside to die. And that when we realize we've received that gift, we can actually be like the Good Samaritan. That we can actually then give those gifts away freely and generously. Yes, to multiply them like we heard about last Sunday in the gospel and with the widow at Zarephath. That the cup will not run dry or the oil run out. Because when we give things away generously, the Lord provides for us. Sometimes mysteriously or seemingly magically, but that He will not let us be deprived of what we need. And in the same way, we realize that when we go and do likewise, loving others generously, then He actually multiplies those gifts He has given us. Oftentimes, as we talk about with the three T's of time, talent, and treasure, that those things, if we hold on to them, start to run out, but the more generously we give them away, they seem to multiply. Not just for us, but also for the benefit of those around us. I think that stewardship way of life helps us to be vigilant of the ways that the Son of Man is near. Not waiting for the last day or when something catastrophic may happen, but being able to say that He is actually flipping our lives upside down little by little. That He's bringing that light and goodness into our world now, leading us on a path towards eternal life with Him in heaven. Brothers and sisters, let us pray not just in this Holy Mass, but hopefully throughout this week, that we can go and do likewise. First, recognizing the ways that God has blessed us and loved us, much like the man that the Good Samaritan helped. Perhaps it's from a particular ministry or experience here at Christ the King or another church. Perhaps it's through our Catholic schools and Catholic education that we provide for so many. Perhaps it's just by an experience with a particular person, maybe a priest or a nun or just a regular parishioner that's sitting with you in the pews today. Whatever it is, that gift is the way that we have received God's goodness, that we've recognized that God is not far from us. So stewardship requires that we recognize that and be filled with a sense of gratitude. Take some time this week to maybe reflect and even express that gratitude to God in prayer. But then also ask how you can go and do likewise. Once again, providing for others. Once again, loving generously. So those things that God has given us can be multiplied. Not because we're worried that the world's going to end or that something terrible may happen if we don't do it. But instead, doing so freely. Confident that that's a way to recognize that God is near. That he is near to us and near to the world. Not abandoning it to the forces of evil, but flipping that idea upside down. Bringing his goodness and light into the world of darkness. Brothers and sisters, let us pray for that grace today to renew that desire of stewardship in our own hearts. That we, like the disciples of Jesus, and like those who have gone before us, we can go and do likewise.